It's Great Mondays Radio. I'm Josh Levine, your host, founder of Great Mondays. We help executives from hypergrowth technology and social enterprise organizations build cultures that attract, engage, and retain top talent. If you'd like to be a guest on our program, hang out for about 20 minutes and I'll tell you how. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Great Mondays Radio. With me today is the talented, experienced Bree Flynn. She is a leadership development expert and is the Senior Director of Talent Development and Learning at Ralliant, a precision technology company based in Raleigh, North Carolina. Bree is someone who has a ton of experience with leadership development and talent development, has a PhD in organizational leadership. And I asked her on today to talk to her about how do you handle all of the uncertainty in the world, or how do you handle the people that are the employees who are going through all this uncertainty and keep them engaged and set them up to be successful, even though you don't know what's going on, right? So we're going to talk about kind of uncertainty, broadly speaking. Bree has worked at John Deere, Swinerton, and a ton of other places. And I'm really excited to have her on. She has a very, very good perspective and a long tenure. So Bree Flynn, welcome to Great Mondays Radio.
Hi, Josh. Happy to be here.
All right. So your sort of frame of work, regardless of where you are, is creating workspaces where business outcomes and human connections coexist. I saw this idea on your site and I wanted to talk about it because I think it feels so right to me, and I'm sure a lot of listeners out there too. How did you hit that? And like, how did you kind of give us a little bit of history of how you came here and that arrived at kind of that idea?
Yeah, that's such a good question. So like you mentioned, I've worked within, you know, Fortune 500 and private corporations for quite a long time. And typically, you see HR professionals that fall into the bucket of being either very people focused and soft, but maybe not as pragmatic with their focus areas, and then kind of the hard HR. These are the processes that we have to drive. And that's where, you know, I kind of have this sticky note on my laptop, just, and really, you know, the goal of us as HR practitioners is to ultimately drive business outcomes, right? And mm-hmm. to create impact.
Yep.
But along the way, I mean, it really is all about human connection and creating environments where people want to work and they can do their best work.
Yeah, I love that. That's great. All right. So that's a great lead in, because I think where we are now and what you have been having conversation after conversation is working with your business leaders, working with them. They're coming to you and asking some very difficult questions about how to lead in such an uncertain time. Talk to me a little bit about what your business leaders are asking and what maybe even you're reading into their questions that they're not quite saying.
Yeah. So Josh, I mean, I would say, you know, easily leading today is more difficult than ever before, right? When you look at the resource constraints, lowering levels of engagement, overload of work, burnout, and then, I mean, honestly, just this environment of layoffs and tariffs and not even knowing kind of what 1 year from now looks like, let alone 1 week from now.
Right. That's what I was going to say. One week
I mean,
from
it's,
now.
It's like, yeah, right. Like we couldn't have predicted this. And that's, I mean, actually, that's kind of the new framework, right? Before they talked about VUCA. Yep. And now it's kind of focused on BANI, right? So, you know, we have brittle systems, an anxious workforce, non-linear solutions, right? They're more complex and then incomprehensible, right? We really can't comprehend what the future is going to look like.
Wow, I haven't
And
heard that.
then,
I'm writing that one
yes,
down. Banny. Yeah, that's great.
Fanny, yes. And it's, I mean, I think that it's just remarkable. So we're asking our business leaders to execute on our outcomes and results while also operating in this completely different context that no one has faced before. So yeah, who wants to lead today, right?
So what are you starting to like? You have this wealth of experience, but you've never, we, but you have never led in this world before, right? None of us have led in
Yeah.
this world. Are you pulling, like, are you starting to go, oh, okay, maybe if we bring a little bit of this thing in and this thing in, like, that's kind of where I'm headed? Or are you, it's almost
Yeah.
like whole cloth reinventing, you know, based on like fundamentals. You're like, okay, let's go back to first principles. Like what? Because I don't even have like a partial answer. What do you, where are you pulling from? And are you starting to see any, are you responding to your executives in a way where you're like, hang tight, I'll be right back. I gotta figure it out. Or like, what is, you
Yeah.
know? So I guess two questions, right? Where is it coming
No.
from, and where, what is it that you're starting to, what's emerging for you?
Yeah. So I would say, you know, when you think about leader, manager, team development, the framework is the same, but the
Okay.
context is different. And really, the thing that's centering in most of my conversations is really around how do you motivate and engage a workforce when we're downturn with sales and productivity and results, and help them to continue to believe that
Yeah.
we're on the right path. And it really, Josh, I mean, comes back to Gallup just recently released their global workforce followership report. And it was interesting because they said the number one thing that followers want, it's not pay, it's not promotion and title, although those things are always good. It's hope. People are looking for hope.
Yep. We
Yeah.
have that data point has come up a bunch. So that is okay. So all right. So they're looking for hope, which is a way of kind of understanding that they do not have hope, right? They need from leaders something they don't have for themselves. Is that the right way to kind of think about that?
That's a great proposition. I would think, you know, so when you think about the definition of hope, right? It's to want something or to have something to be true, right? And the most powerful story that I can think of with this is from the book Man's Search for Meaning by Dr. Viktor Frankl from the Holocaust, right? So this is, you
Yep.
know, well documented, but you know, he emphasizes that hope is essential for human survival, especially when we're in the middle of suffering.
Yep.
And so, if you're in those moments and you can believe or see yourself in that future state, with kind of using this purpose, this experience, you're more likely to be able to get through the current, with more resilience. So, yeah. So, although we're not facing, you know, life or death situations at our jobs, many workers today, I would say, are enduring a different type of suffering, like uncertainty, burnout, and just the fear of being disposable.
I mean, I think that's there is a real like a real emotional burden when you do not have what has always, maybe until the last 10 years, a truth, which is even if I don't love my job is a constant in my life, right? You sort of have, I don't know. A good friend of mine was like, there's sort of like the three things, right? It's sort of like your living situation, your sort of partnership situation, and your work situation. And at any one time, you could not have one of them and the other two will help. So it's almost like before we were in control or somewhat, right? Let's say we lost a job, we can go get another job. But now, even if you have a job, it is no longer, you're like, you're still in that, like spending a lot of, I don't know, psychic energy, like cope. Oh my God, am I gonna be
Yeah.
right? You're in that constant fight or flight mentality, freeze, whatever it is, right? You're like emotionally very sensitive.
Yes. And then you're at, yeah, so high levels of uncertainty, high levels of scarcity, and then we're expected to still show up and to care about the outcomes and, you know,
Exactly.
operate as normal. And that's not even factoring in if you have children or aging parents
Ex
or any personal life. So,
exactly, right? Like you used to be able to choose to have a stable job, 9 to 5, and it's not going to be as
totally.
exciting, but that's what you needed, right? Like that's the kind of person you are,
Yeah.
that's where you are in life versus, you know, going out and, you know, choosing, let's say, the uncertainty of and, you know, entrepreneurship or whatever it might be. Okay. So, now we've set the stage. It's this brittle, I think, is a really or fragile state. Employees, you can just assume that everybody, you should probably assume that everybody is somewhat more fragile than they used to be.
Yes.
Now what?
Yes.
Now
Yeah.
what? What are you advising or starting to, how should we as leaders, as HR leaders, or just even managers or leaders of human beings, what should we do?
Yeah. So, and I've been having this conversation almost weekly and iteratively with different levels of leaders in my org and outside. And I mean, it's really been centering around three key themes that I can talk through. The first thing is, I mean, communicating a clear and meaningful vision, which Josh, I mean, if we go out to McKinsey or HBR, we can see all these articles on how to do that. But I mean, at the base of it, employees can tell when words from leadership are just empty motivation posters, right? I mean, you know, hope and kind of that connection, it doesn't come from that forced optimism of here's our vision statement. It shows it, that's a piece of it, but it comes from leaders showing through actions that they're invested in our people equally as our profits. And so when you think about creating that compelling future for people to stay engaged and hopeful, it's sharing that in a way that connects with them. So, like an example, someone I just recently connected with, their department is going through a major restructuring, and employees are feeling uncertain about their roles and what their future looks like and whether they'll have a role. And so the leader is actually holding a bi-weekly team meeting just to hold space to acknowledge the challenges and also frame the transition as an opportunity for growth. So they share the information that's available, acknowledge what isn't, kind of share their own story, and then hold space, and people know that they will get an update, right? So that's just one way, you know, to kind of make that more tactically connect.
I love that. Okay, so that is back to first principles, right? Like that's just like don't forget this is
Just
important.
yeah, just 15 minutes every other week, 30 minutes a month, right? And just holding space. And even if you don't have any updates, you can say, hey, here's what I know, here's what I don't know. And that kind of gets to my point too, Josh,
Yeah.
of just how important all of this is to comes down to demonstrating authenticity and reliability, right? So when you think about it, you know, trust is built not just when your leaders or your direct manager is being honest, but also consistent, right? You don't want to go, oh, who am I getting this week versus next week? And someone who can follow through on their commitments. And so I think that just, you know, kind of getting to that sentiment of just, I mean, it's challenging, right? But acknowledging the uncertainties without panic. And not having the answers and admitting when we don't know what the future looks like. I mean, that is honestly one of the biggest skills that I'm seeing come up right now.
It's so interesting. That has come up on a number of conversations, the recent like couple episodes just before this one. And this idea of getting comfortable acknowledging that you don't have all the answers. I feel like leaders fall into this trap of believing they need to have all of the answers. And the problem with that is that they don't communicate what they don't know. And there's a gap in the story and the information, and that gets filled with, well, they're hiding something. So I just want to take
Yes.
a second to reiterate, it is okay. And what you've just surfaced that we haven't talked about is that actually builds your authenticity. Hey,
Yes.
I'm a human. This is difficult for me too. I want you to know, here's the things I do know, here's what I don't know. Then everybody goes, okay, great. Now we're all on the same page. I know what I need to be, what is uncertain, and what maybe is not.
Yes. And Josh, I think that's such a good point because easy answers and quick answers are so comfortable, right? Like it's like we're designed to want to find patterns and go yes or no, right? And just but it really does come down to what you're saying is just how can you build that short-term confidence in the lack of these long-term answers and solutions? And so getting comfortable with the complexity, with the ambiguity, and just even saying, you know, I know this is tough. I know that we're behind where we want to be, or we don't know where we're going. But here's what we can do now.
I see the same thing you see. You're not
Yes,
crazy, right? Like I like
we are
let's
in
just
this
go.
together.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Like how do you make it, right? So it's like often it's like let's be on the same team, right? As opposed to I'm here and you're there, like on the other side of the table. Hey, you're not crazy, right? Like it's again like primal brain. Hey, I do see the threat over there and we're going to go get through this together. Everybody goes, all right, at least I'm not crazy, right? Like at least I
Yes.
know that. So that's great. Okay, so we have one, communicate a clear and meaningful vision. Two, demonstrate authenticity and reliability.
And yeah, the third one, and this may seem obvious, but is truly investing in people's growth and well-being in a way that is meaningful to them in the moment. Right. And so, again, this is coming back to what I said, where the leadership paradigm has not changed. We're still showing up, you know, how we always have, where when we believe that our leaders genuinely care about us, our development, our well-being, whatever that means to your individual needs, I mean, that's truly how you sustain connection, hope, and care. And so finding ways on that individual level to really understand, okay, I have a team member who's feeling stuck in their career. Right? I might schedule a one-on-one, ask to understand their goals and frustrations. And instead of offering just, you know, vague encouragement, right? Or just, oh, well, yeah, there will be opportunities in the future. Connecting them with someone, having them do a job shot. I mean, just tangibly having that experience, that action will automatically create that momentum and that feeling that someone is making progress towards those goals.
Offering value that is like is connected to, I think I see two reasons of many that that's compelling. One is you're providing value to them and you're feeding back. You're not just asking them to invest, you're investing in them. So that's a basic, but in a way that illuminates a future and that
Exactly.
hope that you were talking about. So when you first said that, I was like, okay, so that in my head, right, my reflection is, oh, hope for the company. And you're like, well, okay, maybe I don't know, things are going down, but it's going to go up again. But what this third point is doing is illuminating hope for them, their individual future. Hey, I know I can't
Yes.
provide stability or whatever it was, right? But it used to be, but I'm going to invest in you. And that is something that people can feel like, oh, they care about me, which I mean, that's just so incredibly meaningful and valuable.
Yeah, because if you think about the simplified role of a manager, two things, right? The first role is to get work done through your team, right? And ideally, the strategy is aligned so that you're getting the right work done and executed. And the second piece is really around developing the needed skills for your team to execute that work, right? And so if you're creating that environment where you're at least being transparent on the current environment, right? And how we're getting the work done, and where people feel like they're growing and building the skills through that, that is going to somehow meaningfully impact their future. I mean, that's kind of the foundation, right? Of well-being, of engagement, and having a minimally productive workforce.
Right, at least,
You
right?
know, minimal. Like that's like those are the two. You want to be good, do those two things.
Right.
So,
We gotta
yeah.
get the very the gotta get to the
Yeah.
that minimum. The second half of that third statement I want to break down. So the you said invest in growth and well-being in a way, tell me what you said, in a way that's
In a way that is meaningful to them.
in, and you said in the moment or something, or at that moment.
Yeah, in a way that is meaningful to them at that moment. And what I say, I mean, so what that looks like for someone who is a parent to a toddler and navigating that may be different than someone who's, in the last 5 years of their career, right? And so really understanding those motives and drivers and that why, right? Because then they can get through anyhow in the circumstances in the environment. Yeah.
So understand your employees' why. What are they, I don't want to just say struggling, but what are they aspiring to? What do they need support with? Because you're right. It's like, hey, everybody gets a $2,000 budget to do training, go to a conference, right? Like near, like, okay, that's fine for, career professional, early career professionals or whatever it might be. So, but it doesn't, that is not helpful and meaningful to somebody who, like you said, is a parent to a young toddler, someone who is helping their, their parents,
Yeah.
right? Like there's a ton of other ways, or there's there you have to understand that there is a difference and that something that's meaningful and developmentally appropriate for one person isn't the same that's from the other.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. Okay. So if we're these principles, I'm assuming work for managers and leaders at all levels, right? So if you lead a small team, if you lead a medium, if you're an executive, these principles are all true, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty simple. And while, the demands are different at each level, of course, I mean, it's really the foundation of being a good leader is rooted in meeting the needs of those that are following you, right? And so that while that may look different to early career professionals or managers of managers, understanding, yeah, how they, best connect to the mission, the vision, and what those needs are is, translatable.
Okay, what if I'm an individual contributor? Is there something that, and I'll give you a choose your own adventure. You can answer either or both if you're feeling saucy. For myself, how do I do this for, like, what do I, if I'm living in this brittle, anxious, non-linear, inscrutable world, what can I do for myself? And or what can I do for my colleagues? How do I,
Yeah.
how can I be a better colleague? Even though in these moments we are shrinking our spheres, right, to care for our own self,
Yeah.
I do think there's opportunities to provide that support to others. Okay, your
Yeah.
choice.
Yeah. No, this is a pop question, but I would say like the three things that first came to mind when you said that. So first, seek small wins. So whether that's a personal goal that you have for the week, maybe it's just saying, you know what, I want to recognize and appreciate one person I work with every single day, right? If you can set small but tangible goals for yourself, whatever's meaningful, that will automatically, improve your connection, with work. I would say the second biggest thing, and again, that's I see a lot in coaching conversations, is just self-coaching to reframe the struggle. Right. So instead of, focused on how difficult it is and that's difficult to do in 60-hour work weeks, but just kind of taking that perspective of what will I learn from this? What will I take from this? And kind of reframing and seeing yourself in that future version, using those skills, right? And reframing, kind of doing that reframe. And yeah, it's exactly what you said about, I mean, just intentionally building connection. Right? Because as human beings, we are wired to be connected, to be in service, to support others. And so, whatever that means to you, whether that's in the workplace or whether you have other groups that you're involved in outside of the workplace, finding ways to give back, I think is an important piece of that too.
Okay, so here's how I would package that up. We have, in times of uncertainty, we are instinctively, we want to shrink because we feel there is a scarcity mindset. But what I hear your sage advice is to fight that instinct because we still need to connect with others. And even if you're exhausted on your own, spending a little time asking someone for a lunch conversation or just to go get a coffee or a quick check-in is going to be, it's going to be an incredible return on your, investment of some time, because connection, even if we don't feel we have the energy, is going to be the way that we survive and think and get through this. How's that?
I mean, I think we should just package that up, Ja. I mean, that was a great summary. And I'd say just to add to that, I mean, the one thing, right, is yes, and connection doesn't always have to be another meeting, a separate activity. Sometimes even just pulling up your calendar for the week. And one of the tools I've been using with coaching clients is the 10 sec, I call it the 10 second reset. So when you're going into a conversation or a meeting, just taking 10 seconds before you join to just scan your body, center on your intention, and think through, okay, I'm meeting with Josh. What's one thing that I want to acknowledge him for? What's one thing that I actually want to get out of this conversation? And 10 seconds doesn't sound like a lot, but Josh, let's just here, I'll set a timer right now. That was 10 seconds, right? So how powerful would that be if we all just, took those moments
I
and
love it. Piggybacking on meetings or schedules or what are things that are already happening, and taking a moment to breathe in, breathe out. Who's in this meeting? What do I want to get from? And you're right, 10 second, I can be 10 second late, or you're running late to a meeting, but you can still take 10 seconds. It's not going to make or break it,
The
right?
10-second reset.
Yes, I love
Yes.
that. I love that. The last thing that I will pull out that I really, really like that has come up a few times is this kind of mental time travel. So we said at the beginning, the middle, and the end in different contexts, right? So providing hope for what the future may hold at the organizational level, at the individual level, and even at your own level of, where, or even at this kind of like, what can I do this week short term? And you're just taking that time and saying, okay, positively envision, like, okay, what can the future be like for me? And because I think naturally as humans, right, defensively, we're always going to the future and being like, uh-oh, crisis, uh-oh, right? But turn that around and say, okay, let me envision something positive that's coming out of this. What am I learning? Where am I going? And I just think that idea is that we have such an incredible capacity, our brains, right, as like advanced primates, to cast and imagine things that don't exist, and yet we're not good at it. And so we need to practice that more. And that is going to help us move forward in a way that creates a positive future that will counteract or start to counter a tenuous present.
That's exactly right. And I think exactly what you're saying, Josh, of just taking the moment, being aware of your frame of mind with the current situation, and just making that choice. It really starts with just that one choice, that one change today. And sometimes it just starts with 10 seconds.
Amazing. Bree Flynn, a senior director of talent development and learning, leadership development expert. Thank you so much for coming on Great Mondays Radio. This has been so enlightening, and I'm going to take forward a bunch of these concepts that you're putting forward and exercises. Even the 10-second reset is going to be something that I can immediately implement. So gosh, thank you so much. Deep breath. Yay, Bree Flynn. Oh,
Yay.
I want to, if you want to connect with her, she is on LinkedIn. So find her at /Bree Flynn, BRIFLYNN. Amazing stuff, Bree. Thank you for coming on Great Mondays Radio.
Thanks, Josh. Talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to Great Mondays Radio. Hey, if you want to be a guest, head over to radio.greatmondays.com. And if you think this episode was interesting and your friends and fans would enjoy it, please share on social media. And if you want to get more people to understand the power of company culture in business today, please rate and review Great Mondays Radio on your podcast feed. It really helps us reach more people. If you want to hear more candid conversations with culture leaders, subscribe to Great Mondays Radio. I'd love to connect with you. Find me on LinkedIn at AKA Josh Levine, on YouTube at Great Mondays, and you can always email me, josh@greatmondays.com. Find out more about our work with hypergrowth technology and social enterprise organizations at greatmondays.com. I'm Josh Levine. Thanks for listening to Great Mondays Radio.